Hi everyone, this is Dr. Kathy Forte, and today is April 13th, 2017. And well, this has been quite a week to remember for the U.S., for the world, especially with the U.S. bombing in the Syrian airbase after retaliation due to what we've seen as an alleged chemical attack on the Syrian people by the Syrians. And so Russia is upset, Syria is upset, the world is upset, and right now the world is asking, are we on the brink of World War III? And so to get to some answers, I've invited intuitive and visionary timeline reader, also an author of many books, The Timeline, Timeline Collapse and Universal Ascension, and his name is E.M. Nicolay. I'm going to refer to him as Gene. Welcome, Gene.
Hi, Kathy. How are you? It's good to be here.
I'm fine, thank you. I know this is, everybody's been following this, saying what's happening, especially with even diehard Trump supporters saying he's flip-flopped so many times. What's really going on? You know, nobody understands who's running the country now, who's giving information to who. So to try to wade through a little of this and seeing that you look into timelines and see the most probable results of what's going on. And some of it you said is pretty dyed in the wool. It's written. It's not something that's not necessarily going to be changed. I thought I'd go directly to you and see what you can shed some light on this whole situation.
I'll do my best.
Good.
Great. Well, where would you like to start? Because it's so complex and there's so much going on.
First of all, I mean, for people, what is the story with our President Donald Trump? You know, he seems at this point to be reversing all of his pledges. So, is he really in control? What is happening with him? First of all.
Well, you know, it's difficult to talk about specific agendas in the way that people are talking about them, because you really do have to look at the bigger picture and at the overview. It becomes fairly clear when you look at the timeline of what is coming up that there are certain things that are seen on the current trajectory that have become pretty much cemented, and it's not to say that they can't change, but there is definitely now a very definite trajectory that puts us on course and on schedule for exactly what we've described in the book Timeline Collapse. And we had said from before the actual election that when everyone was so very, very concerned about it had to be this one, it had to be that one, you know, who are you for, who are you against, and on, that that really is kind of the small picture, and the big picture really didn't matter. What was intended to take place was going to happen, and was happening on a number of different levels. The thing that I think everyone really needs to understand and remember is that you have a third-dimensional environment that is evolving and that is changing. You have ascension happening at the exact same time, which means, in terms of universal ascension, it means that a universal dimension is going to evolve into its next higher vibration. Now, what that really means is that everything second dimensional, let's say, is evolving and will ascend through a third dimensional vibration. Everything third dimensional will ascend to a vibration that is fourth and fifth dimensional. But during the period of time that we're in, you have this overlap. And you have an overlap where everyone who is going to ultimately evolve over the course of the next 200 years, 250 years, to a higher incarnation, the next time they physically incarnate, is living potentially alongside very young souls who are just coming in for first and second and third lifetimes, who are much younger, who are essentially evolving from a second dimensional vibration to a third dimensional vibration. So what you have and what you see happening is exactly what you see happening now in terms of not only the United States, but in terms of really the whole entire world, where there seems to be more and more and more of a separation between those who are of a higher consciousness, who just look around and say, this can't be happening, and those who are of a much lower vibrational, who are essentially can't wait to get into the fight. And what we said originally with regard to the election, with regard to whether it was Trump, whether it was Clinton, was that those types of those events in the scheme of things are perhaps not as important as the actual big picture events that are taking place. And frankly, whether it had been Clinton or even now with Trump, it really wouldn't have changed the direction or where we are headed.
And I remember you telling me that in November, that the outcome would still be the same, whether it was either candidate.
That's exactly correct, because there are certain things on the timeline. And I would even venture to say that a lot of the flip-flopping that you see going on, which is completely, seems to everyone to be insane, is is indicative of this. And it's indicative of the fact that here is someone who essentially is being swayed and manipulated by events and by the higher, the powers that be, also being swayed by perhaps what I'm going to call alien interference, being swayed by the energies that are very diverse and very different, and can range from being controlled and manipulated by what people call the deep state, all the way to potential influence that is unconscious in nature from aliens who have an alien agenda. It was very interesting because we talk a lot in our books about the system lords, and we say that these are metaphorical beings. They're ninth dimensional avatars. They're essentially higher, what I'm going to call messianic figures, who really move backwards in the dimensions and will incarnate in lower dimensional frequencies in order to have lifetimes where they influence either the geopolitical avenues or the spiritual development of certain realms. And it's interesting because you have that happening in various places. And I have to also say that most of the time these incarnations, these people are not aware that they are actually from a higher dimension, or that they are incarnated from these beings. But nonetheless, they are being influenced by what essentially is the agenda of higher dimensional beings who are now incarnated in physical form, who have lost the connection and have lost the awareness of same, but still kind of there is bleed through. And I have said also, which I find very, very interesting, when we took a look at it, neither Hillary Clinton nor Donald Trump are related in any way to system lords. Now, that can be problematic because that means that their incarnations and the souls from which they originate are actually being influenced and in a certain sense manipulated by something other than the highest potential related to this particular dimension or this particular realm. And in the case of the current president, I would have to say that when it's looked at on the timeline, and when you look at his soul origins, he is a much younger soul. Now, this is not to, and I'm not saying it's good, bad, right, or wrong, and I'm not trying to be disparaging in any way, but what I do want to bring it back to is the fact that we are currently in an overlap realm where there are many, many young souls, where there are many, many younger and baby souls who are incarnating, some for the first time, many for the first, you know, few times, the first dozen times, and they are living alongside those who are of a higher dimensional value, of a higher consciousness, who are older souls, who after this particular lifetime, or perhaps maybe one or two more lifetimes, will ultimately be cycling off of incarnations in the in the third dimension. And as you see this happening, you really get the picture, understanding that younger souls and baby souls are all about, you know, me's and other me's. I want everybody to be just like me. I want to force everyone who doesn't like to be, want to be like me, to be like me.
So you're saying more ego and narcissistic, really.
Yes, exactly. And even fundamentalist, whatever side of the equation you're on, you know, if you're talking about a fundamentalist, a religious fundamentalist of any kind, it's all about, you know, me's and other me's. I want everyone to do exactly what I do, and if you don't like it, I'm going to force you. Whereas an older soul is really invested in, you know, you do what you want to do, I'll do what I want to do, and we'll do it to grow with harm to none, and everybody will be harmonious. And as you have these two groups living side by side, and on top of that, you understand that many of the older souls, once they leave this lifetime, are perhaps not going to be incarnated again. And you add to that the fact that there are more and more younger souls incarnating now in this third dimension. You have a proliferation of these younger baby souls, all with this attitude of me and other me's, all very much invested in learning and in growth through karma, so that they want to get into the fray and they want to fight and they take stands and what have you, alongside a dwindling population, especially over the course of the coming 250 years, of individuals who are really just want to be left alone and really just want to pursue spiritual growth and happiness and love and joy and prosperity. And so the fight that you see happening, whether you're talking about it in Congress, whether you're talking about it in state legislatures, whether you're talking about it in terms of blue states versus red states, or you talk about it versus fundamentalists who are Islamist or fundamentalists who are Christians, you're seeing that particular struggle. And I have to say that when you look on the timeline, that struggle is not going to go away anytime soon. It is going to become much more entrenched. And ultimately, when you look at the timeline, it is essentially the basis of what transpires in terms of the geopolitical outlook and the trajectory that we're on throughout the world. Now, this means that there will be fundamental changes that we've described in the book in America, fundamental changes in the world. It means that the very much predicted what they call Armageddon, which is not really Armageddon, but is a major conflict that ultimately is the Third World War, is in fact in the process of transpiring already. And it will lead to a number of different things that we've seen. And if you're listening to this and you're in North America, perhaps the most important of which for you as an American is the fact that it will ultimately lead to the bankruptcy of the federal government, the collapse of the dollar, and the ultimate disintegration of the current federal union. Now, you know, this is not to scare anyone, and this is not to, and really no one should be scared, because there's an important factor here that everyone has to understand. this is not happening by accident. And if you are of a higher consciousness, you will be appalled, but you potentially will be called to where you need to be called to, because life will go on, and potentially you won't need to actually be invested in such a fray or be involved in it. And what I mean by that is that, as an example, in terms of what we've described with what's going to happen in the United States of America, ultimately, when the federal government does default and does have the problems that it is, you know, rushing headlong to, and you see this happening in terms of, you know, more and more the desire is to give back to the states their power and to do what they want to do. But as that happens and as that evolves, you will see states that will come out of this stronger and better than ever, and they will band together with other states who have like-minded people, where they will become regional independent powers with their own economies, with their own militias, with their own laws, with their own treaties with various foreign countries. And you will see those areas prosper. And most likely, if you are of a higher consciousness, and if you are being called to a certain place, you're being called there for a particular reason. And you, and much of the movement that you've seen in the last 20 years of people moving to new places and of going, you know, an expansion of certain places with a real kind of poverty of other places, and other places people just sort of fleeing, is also indicative of that. Now, it does get a little bit problematic, because ultimately the states that are a little bit backwards, and where third dimensional incarnations or souls who are incarnated, who are younger, kind of predominate, that's where there's going to be problems. That's where there's going to be trouble. That's where there's going to be difficulty. And again, you know, taking out the subjective, oh, good, bad, I'm afraid, if you look at that, you have to understand that those places are, for younger souls, just a bed of opportunity for growth, because that's how they grow. You know, the kind of basic karma for a lower consciousness and for a being who is kind of just starting out, that's the way that their soul grows. Older souls don't need that kind of growth. They are more introspective and more related to self-karma, as opposed to related to karma with the mass consciousness and everyone else. So those places, essentially those places that many people who are, you know, of a higher consciousness would consider a little backwards. And here we don't necessarily even have to talk about America. We can talk about the rest of the world as well.
Oh, well, let me stop for just a second, because what timeline are we talking about? Well, know that you've said to me before that in 2017, probably towards the end of it, you know, 2018, that America can expect a recession. And actually, on the news this morning, I, you know, saw something of that very nature. But you were telling this for quite a while ago, and a possible collapse of the financial system in 2019. But, you know, the dissolution of the states of America and, you know, so forth like that, what are we talking about in that time frame?
Well, I think, you know, and these things, time is really very difficult, and it is subject to change just because it's relative, and it really does become kind of a moving target. Time happens in a spiral. Certain things are related to it, and they can kind of shift a little bit. But for the most part, what we've been seeing and what's becoming even more kind of concrete in terms of the timeline trajectory that we've been looking at is that all of this transpires over the coming, I'm going to say, 12 to 15 years. With the bulk of it really happening starting this year in 2017 and probably through roughly 25 to 2027. That means that, I mean, you see, and it's, it's a little bit difficult to gauge just because of semantics and because things are not always as they appear and we're not always being told the truth. You're not always
The lesson everyone should, pay attention to now is that both sides, there's propaganda and lies coming from both sides. So it's really hard to sift the wheat from the chaff and know who's telling the truth anymore.
Absolutely,
which is really forcing us to kind of go inside and look for our own truth.
Absolutely.
In the midst of all this. And I think that's part of the awakening process as well. But let's talk a little bit about Putin, okay, and Russia and Russia's role in this. What do you see as really being going on in Russia with respect to the United States and the world?
Well, again, these things are very hard to categorize because they run the gambit, and it's very, very difficult to just generalize on one event because it's going back and forth. You have to look at it.
What's Putin's role in all this?
But look at it. You have to look at it in terms of what actually ultimately is going to transpire. When you look at the timeline through 2050. The world powers that are going to predominate and that are going to emerge from the coming conflict as the most powerful in the world, particularly taking up the place of the United States, are going to be Russia and China. Russia in particular, which I think is very, very interesting when you look at it, is going to experience a renaissance, and we call it the Eurasian renaissance, the Eurasian revival. And that is going to take place because of the shift in power, the shift in energy that is going to really form the world over the coming two decades. So when you look at it from that particular standpoint and you realize that the Eurasian Enlightenment that is going to take place starting in about, at the very earliest, you'll see kind of glimmers of it in 2030, 2035, but it really emerges very strongly 2050 to 2075, and it's in place for a solid 75 to 150 years. That you start to understand everything that's happening right now. Now, this is not to say that the current structure, Russian power structure, is not completely corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, certainly it is. But disregarding all of our notions about good, bad, right, or wrong, you have to look at it from the standpoint of the stage being set for what ultimately is coming. Now, when you look at it in that context, you understand that in terms of Russia and in terms of Putin and what he's actually doing, and I would have to say also, without knowing it, Putin is a system lord. However, in this particular instance, and I'm not going to call him an antichrist, but you have to understand that when we look at the system lords, we look at it as Christ consciousness, and you look at the system lord who's in charge of spiritual growth as a Christ consciousness, and you look at the system lords who are in charge of political and geopolitical movement and change in the world as, quote, antichrist. And regardless of how you feel about this person, he is setting the stage for what ultimately will deliver to the world a Russian, a Eurasian emergence, and where culture, including Western culture, will kind of be preserved. And the one hope, which ultimately we've seen on the timeline that is not currently apparent, is that there will be a revival of kind of not fundamentalist spirituality, but humanism and an openness and treating individuals equally. But unfortunately, that does not come until after this conflict that we're calling World War III. So when you look at it from that, Putin is a physical system lord, meaning that Putin actually is an incarnation of a being who has the intention of actually changing the geopolitical nature of the world and particularly of his area. Now, again, I have to remind everybody, this is not to say that he knows this. This is not to say that he has any connection or that he knows of his connection as such. And you also have to remember that in terms of physical system lords, you know, Hitler was a physical system lord as well. Their objective is to change the geopolitical nature of the world in order to create mass consciousness and create opportunities for growth for the world. You also have to understand that we're now talking about, especially over the course of the coming 100 to 150 years, we're talking about a realm that is going to be solidly third dimensional in nature, meaning that it's going to be a little closed, that it's going to be young souls, that it's going to be, you know, we're not talking about some great, you know, suddenly they're going to all be, you know, fifth dimensional vibration and have higher consciousness. We're talking about an entire world over the course of the coming 250 years that's going to become very solidly a third dimensional environment where most individuals who are incarnating in the third dimension, who are of a higher consciousness, will actually evolve to another dimension, and we say that they will most likely be evolving to fifth dimensional Earth, which we call Terra. So you see, this is the process of ascension, and this is the evolution that the world and that individual souls and the universe per se is actually going through.
So Putin is just starting the process.
Exactly.
Because obviously we know he's not going to probably be alive in 2050.
Right. No, absolutely. Well, that's what I'm saying. This is why I'm saying that there will be, once this great war that is coming, which really will cause just a terrific, horrible, horrible problems worldwide.
We're talking nuclear?
We're definitely talking nuclear. We definitely are. And we're talking about strategic nuclear in the Middle East, where it starts. We're ultimately talking then about terrorists carrying the limited nukes into Europe. And we're even eventually talking on a very limited basis in the future, potential, you know, suitcase terroristic kinds of nukes in the limited areas in the United States. At that particular point...
So are you saying that on the timeline, who did you see actually perpetrating the nuclear strikes?
It's a combination of false flag and terrorist, actual terrorist. Mm-hmm. Now you have to remember that when it is in Europe, it's actually revenge on the part of Islamist and even most of the Middle East, which will be devastated by this coming war, that will be kind of a revenge scenario, but it will be devastating to Europe. It will essentially, many of the great cities in Europe will be destroyed and really deserted.
What's the time frame on that?
We're again talking over the course of the coming 15 years. So, and you know, potentially the way this wave happens is, you have to understand, World War III, even though they will not call it that for some time and are not calling it that, has already begun, and it's been going on for a while in the Middle East. So everything you see happening in starting in Iraq and now in Syria and ultimately it will move on. And expand is essentially World War III. So just because we're not calling it that yet doesn't mean that it's not so. But it will become even more devastating when various players get involved, like when the United States adventures get a little bit too out of hand over in the Middle East. And then the Chinese and the Russians, even if they don't get directly involved, are very much involved in terms of trying to counter what the United States is doing. And then Iran gets involved, and it really does kind of escalate into this into a true world war that we're talking about. Although I have to say, when you look at it on the timeline, it doesn't appear to be out and out declarations of war as much as these really devastating conflicts and skirmishes that you actually see already occurring and happening. And
now, you said,
it's interesting.
Go ahead.
Yeah, getting back to Putin, and that's what I was going to do.
Because I know you said he was a physical system lord. I'm wondering if consciously if he also has an agenda besides, you know, an evolutionary agenda for this planet.
Well,
which he may not be consciously aware of.
Of course, consciously his agenda is based on revenge. You have to remember that this is someone who is a product of the KGB when it was the Soviet Union. And there is a lot, when you take a look at it, related to karma with the United States in terms of the breakup of the Soviet Union. Now, you know, I mean, you can say a lot, and they haven't fared that well, or they have fared really well, and it was a good thing, and whatever you want to say. Again, you know, I have to divorce it from good, bad, right, or wrong. It just is. But in his eyes, if you are talking about a conscious agenda, he most definitely would like to see the same thing happen to the United States.
Well, that's interesting, because Putin has gone on record as saying the collapse of the Soviet Union was the greatest disaster of the 20th century. And, you know, you said it, payback, karmic payback, revenge, whatever, for the U.S.'s role in helping along that collapse with during the Reagan and Bush senior years, where we supported the holy warriors fighting against the Soviet forces in Afghanistan by giving them missiles, and which led to, you know, more Soviet losses. And it's actually kind of interesting how that's correlating now with the breakup, you said, you know, see in the future the breakup, the dissolutions of the United States of America, just like the Soviet Union. So it's an interesting
Yeah, that, I did not know that. I did not know he was quoted as saying that, but
It
truly
does. I mean,
it
was quite a while ago. I was curious about it, and so, you know, you said if that was his true agenda for revenge, you know, he wants to bring back the Soviet Union, the old Soviet Union, to great power again, and see the U.S. become demoted from a superpower, which U.S. became a superpower because of the Soviet Union dissolution, and now it's trying to be flip-flop back.
You know, that's exactly right. It's wrong to see these things as with starts and finishes. And that's a very interesting point that we make also, is that, you know, there are karmic connections back to the Crusades. There are karmic connections back to ancient Rome. Just because the Soviet Union fell and then this happened and then that happened does not mean that anything ever changed. Do you see what I mean? And so there is a definite connection, and that's precisely what you see happening, again, in the context of ascension and an ascension period where there is an evolution of the realm and where lower dimensional vibration will become third dimensional, and third dimensional or fourth dimensional vibration will move on to fifth dimensional frequencies.
So this is a crazy time.
It truly is. But one thing that I do want to stress to everybody is that, first of all, if you're listening to this at all, or if you've stumbled across any of this kind of information, that's not accidental. It's because you are of a higher consciousness. It's because you will actually be called to where you need to be for you and your loved ones to be protected. Now, like I said, over the course of the past even 10 years and more, what you see happening is like-minded people wanting to be near like-minded people. So that if you are a person of a higher consciousness, and you know, your neighbor every time you kind of walk into your house screams at you, you know, isn't Trump doing a wonderful job? and he's going to get all those commies who are in Boston and in LA. Well, then you probably kind of feel like, you know, I think maybe I should go somewhere else. And what's going to happen is people are going to congregate with like-minded. And that works both ways. I mean, the lower dimensional people, the younger souls will actually want to congregate with their kind. The older souls will move on. And that's what's going to be the kernel of, that's where you're going to find protection, and that's where we're going to find strength.
Well, we all look for our tribe, you know, where we feel most, our community tribe, where we feel at home. But being in the spiritual community here myself and the alternative community as well, I hear so many people speak about, oh, well, you know, the good extraterrestrials out there will save our planet, and that the people, you know, that people are working behind the scenes to upset and get rid of the cabal that's corrupting the world. And, you know, it's like, what do you say to those people? I mean, from a timeline, is this all propaganda?
It is all propaganda, and it's unfortunate, but you know, there are a lot of people, and I've heard people say it to me too, people who are supposedly very enlightened and very educated and very of a higher consciousness, who, you know, will say to you, I don't want to know any of that, because I don't want it to, you know, I don't want to acknowledge it, and I don't want it to happen. And I think that by knowing it, I will create it. And I find that very unfortunate, because that's very much sort of just being in denial and not really truly understanding what is transpiring, the purpose behind what is happening, because everything has a reason. The biggest part of why we, you know, focused on this book and why we worked on this book was to actually give people, it wasn't to make people afraid, it was to give people a guide to help people understand what was going to transpire, the reasons why it was transpiring from a higher standpoint, and really more or less what you can do to control your destiny if you are of a higher consciousness. And I think that that's the most important, that's the key, that's the most important thing that people who are going through this right now can kind of understand. Fear is a deadener. Fear will
absolutely... Well, fear comes from the unknown and not understanding.
Fear is the opposite pole of faith, not the religious kind, but belief that you'll be okay and that the universe will provide and that your higher self will provide. When you go into fear, you block all your guidance. So that when you go into fear, and because you're watching too much news or you're hearing about all these horrible things that are transpiring everywhere, that actually blocks your guidance, and that's the point at which then you're immobilized, because then you're not receiving guidance telling you, you know, your spirit guide's telling you, we need to go here, and you can't hear it because you're in a state of fear. Now, the thing is, the powers that be, whatever that might consist of, understand this. And so they make a concentrated effort, and that's what false flag is all about. It's a concentrated effort to generate fear so that you lose sight of who you are and you lose guidance and you're no longer in touch with your higher self and being guided to be where you need to be. And that's why we have to be very, very cautious while giving, you know, essentially the trajectory and what is transpiring and the reasons why. We have to be very careful not to go into a state of fear with it, but to understand this is happening for a reason. I'm going to be okay because I'm going to keep my frequency high. I'm going to keep my vibration high. I'm going to keep my consciousness high, and I'm not going to succumb to fear. And that's my protection.
Good advice. Very good advice.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's a lot of disinformation going on, as I said before. You know, I looked at some of these things that were, you know, just as I said before, as I mentioned, you know, people thinking that extraterrestrials will save us, or that the cabal is being destroyed behind the scenes, that nobody sees it, and so forth like that.
Yeah,
I always suspected that that was somewhat to placate the masses, to keep them from getting either worked up or protesting or doing things that would be more chaotic. And so
and keep them plugged into
is that being orchestrated
system.
As well from behind the scenes?
I believe it is. I definitely do. I mean, if you're talking about in terms of keeping people in a state of fear, absolutely. There's a conscious effort to do that.
Now, people say that a lot of people, I know mainstream media is not saying this, but a lot of the alternative media is saying that Siri was definitely, the chemical effects was a false flag. And do you want to speak a little bit to what that whole thing is about?
Well, when we've taken a look at it, and this is more adventurism in terms of the United States, the first thing is that from when we took a look at it, to be honest, and you know, take this any way that you want, it really was a subterfuge in order to get people off of the idea of collusion with Russia. And I would go as far as to say that this little spat that it looks like they're having, where suddenly the mainstream media is saying, oh, you see, Trump really hates Russia. He's flip-flopped and he's changed and they hate each other now and the relations are at the lowest point ever, blah, 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 is all a little bit of theater. In order to divert people from the fact, which it was very successful because it's suddenly been knocked off the front page, that there ultimately was collusion prior to the election. So in order to do so, there needed to be a little bit of a false flag kind of operation in order for them to have their little spat that they've been having ever since. And again,
so was the U.S.
This is what appears
colluding?
To be happening.
U.S. was colluding in this, is what you're saying.
No, I'm talking. The campaign that the Trump campaign definitely colluded from everything that we've seen, and that was really preoccupying everybody, and it was going to get worse and worse, and that the only way to disengage from that and to kind of divert people's attention from that was to have this operation take place where then there was suddenly a conflict with Russia where Russia gets angry and then it looks as though Trump really doesn't like Putin after all. And you see, we were all wrong. There's no collusion at all because Trump doesn't even like Putin and Putin doesn't like Trump and the relations are at the lowest that they've ever been. Do you follow?
Yeah, I mean, it really sounds like, you know, Americans are being played, if that's true.
Well.
Well, I have to backdrop and say Americans have always been played, you know,
yeah.
And, you know, in minutes, you know, somebody puts something in the news, we jump all over it without sometimes saying, well, let's kind of look at where's the proof, where's the facts. Let's not, you know, shoot from the hip immediately, which apparently it seems that we did. But you said that was all orchestrated as well.
Well, from what we've looked at in terms of when we remote view it, that's what comes up. And that's what appears to be the case. And so that they're, you know, we have not looked at how long they're going to keep up this little spat, if it's going to get worse, what's going to happen. But the key player who really hasn't been even talked about here is China and things that are happening behind the scenes with China, and now all this movement in terms of North Korea.
Yeah, that is disturbing.
Yeah, and I have to say we haven't looked at that in depth, and at some point we probably will, but it's very, very much connected, and it's not by accident that the Chinese president was here at Mar-a-Lago as they were suddenly having events in Syria, and there does appear to be a little bit of a game going on in terms of, you know, behind the scenes. How about we play bad cop, good cop? And I think that
you take care of our problem, and we'll make better trade deals with you.
Yeah, yeah. Good cop, bad cop. You pretend to be mad. You pretend to be the bad cop. I'll pretend to be the good cop, and you know, and we'll go back and forth, and then no one can say that. You know, and everyone will say that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. So you know, it's again looking at the broader picture. Again, looking at the higher picture. All of these little things that are happening are kind of, you know, they're important at the moment, but they really are kind of a little bit inconsequential. However, they contribute, each one contributes to the trajectory and to the timeline and to the overall picture that we're talking about that leads to the ultimate conflict that is then going to bankrupt the United States, is ultimately going to cause economic chaos in Western Europe and in America, and really cause catastrophes and chaos worldwide.
And what's Israel's role in all this from what you can see on the timeline?
Very much involved. Very much involved. Very much involved. And would like nothing better than to have the Middle East in tatters. That's unfortunate. They really do run the risk, and they, you know, of being very heavily involved, and that ultimately, when we take a look at it on the timeline, will transpire. However, at this particular point, I think they think that they can control everything, and that by pushing from behind the scenes to, you know, kind of have these things destroyed, the governmental structures and what have you, I think they think that they can get a better handle on sort of keeping harm at bay. It's a little bit short-sighted, and
it's a dangerous game.
Seems to be. And again, you know, I've not looked at specific things at all, but in looking at the broader picture, they ultimately are involved, and that there will be when the conflict in the Middle East really spills over across all borders, they will be involved. Perhaps not to the point of great destruction that you will see in places that you're already seeing, you know, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, because those will be areas that are fairly devastated by what transpires from what we've seen over the coming dozen years.
So you're talking about Syria being totally destroyed?
Talking about a good part of the Middle East, especially when this escalates into sort of nuclear holocaust, even if they're not directly involved, being pretty much under, terrible, catastrophic kinds of environmental problems, almost immediately. Refugees, famine, all of that. And you see, what happens is, from what we've seen on the timeline, what happens is once that takes place, you've got such massive refugees and you've got so many people looking for revenge, it's at that point that it spills over very heavily into Europe. And when it spills over heavily into Europe, that's where we're talking about very, very difficult, chaotic situations, potentially even in terms of sort of limited and small nukes in major cities like Rome and Paris.
Wow.
Yeah. Again,
Yeah.
You know, I have to go back and say again.
Yeah, I know. It's don't focus on the fear or anything.
For it's a reason.
Yes, everything
it's not
is
good,
happening
bad, right,
for
or wrong. You will be where you need to be if you are connected to your guidance.
Absolutely. You know, and you know, I kind of tell people, you know, this is all happening. There's a lot of things that you'll never be able to stop, no matter how you protest or anything. Things are already in the making, you know, in the works. All you can do is focus on having a good life, you know, loving your family, your friends, and coming from a heart-centered approach, and just observing and watching what's going on, and don't being sucked into the fear of it all.
Exactly. Exactly. You have to understand, you know, mass consciousness creates opportunities for growth. In many cases, the opportunities for growth are related to, I don't want to be a part of it, and remaining above it, and by following your guidance so that you do remain above it, if that's what you desire.
You know, I also wondered about the, you know, the whole eventual breakup of the United States. Is it come from at some point people have had enough and said we can't trust government in any shape, manner, or form, so we just don't want to be a part of it anymore?
It's a combination of things that's included. It really does, though. I mean, when the economic recession that we've seen on the timeline for 2017 is a repeat of what happened in the 2008-2009 period.
For the recession, 2008.
Yeah, exactly. And now I'm going to say that it's almost they might keep it at bay and keep it afloat for a little while longer. It's quite possible that in terms of the timeline that it has shifted a little tiny bit, because I've seen that. But essentially, what you saw happen in 2008 and 2009 will happen again, this time on steroids. And that will be very, very difficult for not only the United States, but for, you know, individuals and people, also including Western Europe and even to an extent Asia. And that will kind of hobble the federal government in the United States at a time when they are having more adventures than they've probably ever had in the past. So here you have these, I mean, you know.
So will that finally lead to the demise of the Federal Reserve?
It all of that contributes, but what really does completely kind of floor the federal government and cause bankruptcy is the dollar collapse in what we've seen as 2019. Mm. When that dollar collapse happens, which will be quite devastating, America will default on a great many things. A great many people who depend on the government will, you know, not get their checks, and there's going to be mass problems. Now, what you see happening, now they kind of indicate and know that this is happening. So what they've been doing is, that, you know, it's almost like you're a hot potato. I'm going to give it back to the states. So that strategy that you see happening with the, in particular, the Republicans in Congress, of let's give everything back to the states and let them decide, it's not accidental. It's because, like, let's get rid of the hot potato because we know that this is coming. But then you have to also look to understand that the state, there are a good many states who are completely unaware and are sitting around arguing about who can use what bathroom. But there are other states where they've actually sent out delegations to have trade agreements with the rest of the world, and they're talking about creating their own healthcare systems, and they're talking about these different things that before the federal government took
care
of.
Their own state banks and so forth.
Exactly.
And central banks.
Exactly. And that's going to make a gigantic difference when everything really does start to fall apart. So what you see happen, there's not one event that takes place. But on the timeline, what it appears is just bit by bit, it's just eroding. The states are just taking up the slack. I mean, you have New York the other day. Now, you know, they're going to give free tuition at their universities, which are pretty good universities. You have states who are going to start be doing things like this, and more the federal government is just going to be involved in these military adventures. I find it very interesting when you do look at what's in our book that, you know, suddenly, I forget what the figures are, but, you know, we have the largest defense budget in the world. It's like six times larger than the closest country, and they're going to increase it so substantially. Well, you don't increase a budget that's already bloated unless you plan on using it or you think you need it. And they know what's coming, and they
plan
on using it.
Especially when we're already broke. So
yeah, they plan. They're doing it. They plan on using it. This is not about let's protect America. Although maybe they really have, they do have people who are looking at the timeline and who are telling them, you know, we're going to need to do this. And for a very long time, I have to say, when you look at the timeline, you do see that the federal government really shuts down most of its domestic, interaction, you know, like the EPA, just like what they're doing currently, and ultimately turns everything into. We're only about the defense of this of North America.
Well, it seems right now Washington is being told.
Hello? Hello?